leverage all of our talents and passions and knowledge in HR, but kind of break free of the shackles of same old, as my kids would say.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of We're Only Human. I'm Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm glad you decided to join me for the show today. Today I want to make a few big but quick announcements before we get into our featured conversation. First of all, I'm so incredibly thankful to everyone that has asked about the book, those that have pre-ordered, those that have commented, shared, mentioned that they've already bought a copy, all those things. If you are curious, interested, want to know more about the book that I've spent a lot of my year writing, a lot of last year researching, it's called AIHRbook.com, doing a lot of presenting on the topic, and it's just one of those things I love sharing about. Actually, the chance to share with a group of students last week kind of how the HR function is changing because of some of the new tools and technologies are coming into play, and educating them on how to focus their skills on the things that are actually going to matter in the future workplace. So that was a really fun conversation. Lots of good questions from them. Really insightful and really inspires me about the future of our profession. I'm very excited about the book and very transparent about the process of publishing and everything else. So I'll be sharing more about that in the coming months. On another note, I am really excited to announce a new series of virtual conferences we're going to be hosting at Lighthouse Research in 2019. We're going to have a series of specialized events on things like recruiting, learning, core HR. We're actively looking for sponsors, and if your firm targets recruiting leaders, learning leaders, HR, talent leaders, those kind of things, in some form or fashion, we'd love to have a conversation with you. You can learn more at lhra.io/virtual. That's lhra.io/virtual. Now, today I'm bringing you an interesting conversation, really great discussion on the value of agility and talent processes. I had the opportunity to talk with John Taylor. He's a subject matter expert. He's really sharp. You'll get that really quickly in the conversation. And he's super passionate too. I love hearing John share why he's excited about this. And you heard the break free the shackles quote from the very beginning. So you know some of the things you're going to get from him probably. But he is with RiseSmart. And John's going to talk about how employers can create a competitive talent practice in today's fast moving environment. I know you're going to enjoy the discussion. Be sure to check out the links in the show notes to connect with John on LinkedIn, read up on the recent webinar that I did with the RiseSmart team on the 5 key performance management practices of high-performing firms, and more. Now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to We're Only Human. This is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I am so glad to have you here today. Today, we have a really interesting guest, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff around talent and all of that good stuff. I'm really pumped about the conversation, and I'm hoping to learn something, as I usually do, and I know that you will as well. So I won't waste any more time. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I'm excited, as you are probably more so, because I love having the opportunity to talk about the function and how this function is so critical to driving the business world ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into all the stuff that we're passionate about, and it's going to be hard to rein us in probably, tell us who you are, what you do, so everybody kind of has some awareness about that.
Sure. Okay. Well, again, this is John Taylor. I'm with a company called RiseSmart, spelled R-I-S-E-M-A-R-T, all one word. We're one of the largest career transition providers in the world. And what I do for this great company is I'm what's called a practice development manager, which are words that are really wrapped around my role as helping to create and implement what I would call value-added products and services that help organizations really help develop and empower and just ignite their people to do great things with their careers. Pardon me?
I love that last word you used, ignite. You know, that goes beyond the empowerment and the other things you see.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to tell you right up front, Ben, that I'm not probably the typical HR person. I'm not sure there is a typical one, but I have a very different background than most HR practitioners do. But what really drives me is this sort of embedded passion and energy
to drive the business world ahead in the role that I'm in, which calls for not just passion, but also tools and techniques and strategy and resiliency. So I'm in the right place in terms of the sweet spot regarding how I want to develop myself and help companies develop and employees and other companies develop as well.
Awesome. Well, that's a perfect segue into kind of the conversation today, because I want to talk about, you know, again, I know that RiseSmart does a lot of career transition stuff, but there's also some really interesting things that you do on the, I don't want to say like the negative side, right? But there are times where that's needed. But on the positive side as well, where companies are saying, hey, things are changing for the better, and we're trying to figure out how to get our people ready for that, what sort of things are happening, you know, career mobility, talent management, all those pieces of the puzzle, especially in a tight labor market, companies are trying to think about how they can hang on to their people and take care of them and ignite them, if you use the word that you used. So what sort of things are you hearing kind of from your customers in the marketplace around what's going on with again, the tight labor markets, what sort of things you're thinking about in terms of engagement? I'm just kind of curious, what's your kind of pulse on that?
Well, it's interesting you asked that question, Ben, because my experience as of late has been to, in a way, categorize what I'm hearing into two groups. One is conversation, information from companies that are in sort of a let's wait and see mode in terms of what's happening in the people side of the business world. Then there's the other group, which is, hey, we want to look over the horizon. We want to plan for what's ahead and have some ability to really become even more of an organization that excels. I encourage both types of organizations to drive, if you will, towards the end zone, use a football analogy. Basically, what companies are feeling they're facing is a very uncertain future. There are so many converging and diverging forces at work. Of course, we know about the millennials. We know about the gig economy. We know that in the U.S., the economy is doing really, really well. Companies are nervous. They're really embarking upon some strategic thinking to determine, okay, how do we continue to identify the best people, but people with skills that we'll need further down the road versus right now? And then what will it take to not just keep them, but to fully engage them so they're feeling like there's no place they'd want to be than where they are? They tell their able-bodied colleagues that are in other companies about the great opportunities they have where they are. So companies are all, I think, searching for the sweet spot, that sweet spot. That's what I'm hearing. But as I mentioned, companies are going about planning how to get there in different ways. Again, some are holding back, waiting to see what happens when the dust settles. You and I both know that the dust is always in motion. And other companies are not waiting. They're moving ahead. Quick example, some of these leading companies are moving away from the HR concept of what we call, as you know, workforce planning to instead workforce shaping, which may sound like semantics, but there's a great deal of very interesting thinking that's going on under the shaping banner in terms of scenario planning and looking at skills needed in the future versus where they are today, doing the gap analyses, so on and so forth. So personally, I love changing environments and worlds because that brings out the best in us. And I love to see companies really thinking strategically, thinking outside the box, doing scenario planning, etc. So I'm hearing lots of interesting things. It's not all similar. It's quite different in some cases. Companies are also very focused on engagement. Surprise, surprise. Again, as I think about drilling down a little bit here, and I'm happy to go off on a tangent whenever you would like, if you like, companies are more and more embracing agile thinking. And in particular, HR functions in various companies have already begun doing that as well, which is going to I think, really change the landscape within HR over the next several months and years, as well as organizations as a whole.
Goodness, there's so many examples of how that kind of feeds into it. We actually did a show earlier this year interviewing a pair of authors about their book, and one of the things they talked about was this thing called job sculpting, which is on a micro. Each individual employee kind of sculpt the job to fit their skills, to fit the things that they're great at, to leverage their strengths. But I like the idea of shaping more as a macro look at that. All right, let's look at what we are great at as an organization, what differentiates us, what sort of things do we need to be great at, not just to be good today, but to be good in the future, because those might be two different things. And how do you help someone, how do you answer some of those questions for them, I guess? I'm just kind of curious, you know, when someone comes to you and says, hey, we think that this industry is going to be disrupted to some degree, what's the first kind of step that you take with someone to help them evaluate what that impact is going to be for their company, for their people?
That's a great question, Ben. One of the first things I do is to kind of set the stage and help them grow and develop. So I will typically ask them, what sort of disruptive changes have you been a part of in the past? What happened? How did you proceed through that change, et cetera? To get a feel for, have they developed resiliency? Have they developed that hunger and awareness that change can be a good thing? So depending on what comes back, I would take, you know, probably a couple of different approaches. But basically, where I would go is to help them understand that the world ahead is one that is largely unpredictable. And as a result, we really want to continue to grow and develop and get very, very used to that and hungry for that, because the future landscape is going to change so many different times. And our ability to learn and to also then apply the learnings and the skills to whatever new opportunities come along is going to be absolutely crucial. So combined with that hunger to continue to grow and to look within the organization and potentially at times outside to see, okay, what am I hearing and reading about over the next couple of years where organizations are going technology-wise, process-wise, et cetera? And then figuring out, given that, where's my passion? Where are my strengths? And leveraging those things in such a way to get lots of energy and enthusiasm around learning more about what may be called for in terms of skills, experiences, et cetera, and getting ready to potentially position oneself for that emerging function, job, market, what have you. So preparation is absolutely crucial, but also what's crucial is that upfront piece of, okay, what's my current inventory of skills and knowledge? What's my readiness for change? Because if you jump into, you know, one of those later steps without really having grounded yourself on what's ahead, it could set you back in terms of making the best use of your time that you devote to really influencing your future and thus your career growth. I love these types of questions because the answer is never obvious. The answer is largely going to call for people to be creative and adaptive and hungry, if you will. And I think within everyone, they've got some great talents and abilities to really make a significant impact on their organization and the business world. And we in HR, I think, have an obligation to, I'll use this word again, ignite those combustible ingredients and really, I think, transform the business landscape.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny you've talked about creativity and agility and some of these other types of things that I consider soft skills, because we always want to point to, oh, you know, this is the next skill that's going to matter in the next 10 years. Then everyone talks about coding, for example. And I saw a piece just today from the CEO of LinkedIn talking about how, yes, coding's important, but it's not the most important skill. The most important skills in the future are going to be these soft skills, these things that you can adapt, you can be flexible despite what happens. You know, even if there's a major disruption in how your business operates, if you have some of these soft skills, the creativity, the curiosity, those things that make us human, especially in the era of automation and everything else, right? Those things are going to matter even more in the future than they do today. And today, as you're pointing out, they're already critical, and so it's hard to imagine having a greater demand for people that have those things really well ironed out in terms of their skill sets. Soft skills have always been, I always call them the hard things, because they're hard to quantify, they're hard to measure, they're hard to teach in some cases. But at the same time, all the examples you're giving right here are pointing to those being like critical points for someone to survive and kind of thrive in the way we work today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To add to your comment, Ben, I look at the experience and knowledge as being absolutely crucial and important to one's career. Having said that, what kind of overlays that, and I think can make the difference between someone who is almost like they're being carried down a stream, if you will, based on the current, versus someone who's got the ability to swim, and if they so desire to swim upstream and do it almost effortlessly, is this whole concept of resiliency. And if I may, let me just say a few, maybe more than a few, but a few words on that. My concept of resiliency as it relates to what's ahead is it's not simply about getting through whatever challenge that you're dealing with and bouncing back. That could be one person's definition of resiliency. My concept of resiliency as it relates to how we equip ourselves for what's ahead is not simply to bounce back, but to reorient oneself in such a way that the person becomes more aware and becomes stronger and more capable of dealing with change and challenges that comes their way at points down the road. And we all know that there's lots of change coming at us that we have no clue about today. So resiliency, I think, is incredibly important, combined with in your case, coding knowledge. But if you don't have the ability, within yourself to really embrace change and to leverage it, then you're simply going to always be in a reactive mode that's tremendously stressful to the body, to the mind, et cetera. And for us in HR to do our best work, we've got to be fully alive, energized, et cetera. So in part, it calls for almost a different mindset as to how we help the businesses that we operate in and clients, et cetera, really transform each one of ourselves and teams in such a way where we've got the complete makeup, knowledge combined with this adaptability and resiliency to come out of this essentially in a way where we say, there's nothing we can't do. Let's bring it on. So anyway, it may sound like I had caffeine this morning, and I didn't really. I just get really, really energized about the opportunity that's ahead of us.
Well, the way you're talking about it, it sounds like a muscle almost, right? Let's exercise it, strengthen it, because next time around, we're going to put even more of a load on it potentially, right? Talk about change like it's a pace. It's a muscle. It's going to be stronger next time in order to, again, not just bounce back, like you said, but recover and prepare you for what's coming ahead. And so I like that. I like the idea of thinking about it in that way. It's not just this, it just bounces off of me and nothing hurts, because sometimes they do. Sometimes change forces us to change things. We can't avoid them, but at the same time, taking it on that way, I like that that idea.
I love the analogy, Ben. I think it's a great one. Because you and I both know that when the muscle is fresh and strong, it can do incredible things. But if we stress it too much and we don't recuperate in the right way, then the muscle is going to weaken, and then there could be some injury, et cetera. So it's about everything that goes into us performing at a peak level. And it's not just about, okay, this is simply a sprint, I'm going to go all out, because guess what? The world we operate in is not a sprint of anything. It's a marathon that has portions that may feel sprint-like, but it's a long pathway that we're on in terms of our careers, hopefully. So I love the analogy.
Excellent. You're welcome to steal that any opportunity. Run with it. It's fun stuff. So let's switch gears just a little bit, because this has been, I didn't even plan on like covering all those things, but that was a lot of fun to kind of dig into a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Let's talk about some creative ideas, tactics, strategies, some really practical kind of things for keeping people engaged. You know, we talked about the importance of resiliency and agility and some of those other types of things, but I want to give people some practical ideas for how to actually keep their people excited about work, keep them engaged. Does that sound good to you?
Sure, it sure does.
Okay. You want to run through a couple of those that you guys use, advise on, recommend?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd be happy to. So the easiest and quickest answer I can give is lots of companies have put some significant and sincere focus on providing flexibility to their employees, be that hours, schedule, work schedules, if you will, or work locations, et cetera, sometimes some benefits, et cetera. And depending on who you are, those options can be incredibly helpful and can make you feel like your employer really understands your world, and as a result, your engagement goes up and all the good things happen that come with higher engagement. In other cases, companies are putting more focus on recognition, and specifically the approach I think the leading edge companies are taking is, I guess, what I would call a micro approach, which is mass recognition of the same type doesn't do much anymore. Instead, it needs to be customized to the individual where possible, meaning it's got to be recognition that means something to the individual. It needs to be delivered on a timely basis. And there's a lot of thought that goes into that at a micro level. It's really easy to send out a mass email to 20 people on one's team saying, great job, whatever. But who doesn't get 10 million email a day? That recognition can get lost in the shuffle. So companies are putting some innovative thinking into the whole recognition aspect. And when they dial it in correctly for their employees, almost one by one, you can see some engagement increases in terms of how people are feeling, fewer people tend to leave, so on and so forth. As it pertains to some things that are a little bit more internal, companies are also putting more focus on mentoring, as an example, such as a person being mentored by a more senior person potentially, or a person in a different function. Or it could be that if you're an employee that's been with your organization for quite a while, it could be that you're offered the opportunity to mentor someone else. So being able to contribute in different ways, and mentoring is one example, is something that is very appealing to many employees. And when given options like that, to contribute in different ways, I'm seeing more and more employees feel like, hey, this is really cool. I get the opportunity to do this. I didn't realize my organization was that willing to let me contribute in different ways. Mm. And that can lead to increased momentum in terms of that person's perspective on the organization. Engagement goes up. They tell their peers about it, and hopefully their peers have some options like that as well. But it can lead to sort of a groundswell of greater appreciation for the opportunities that the organization provides. And I'll give you one more, and happy to go into more detail on any of these or to take your next question. But companies are really putting, I think, a great deal more focus on helping their employees grow and develop, not simply to raise their engagement, but to field a workforce that is more capable, that has greater possibilities for moving into different roles, into roles perhaps that haven't even been created at this point in time. So career development is not simply in today's world about, all right, what exactly is my career path? What do I have to do to get promoted? Now, make no mistake, Ben, there are people out there that think like that, and that's fine. But career development really has taken on a whole different color or hue if you will, from the standpoint of now growing and developing one's career often entails horizontal opportunities as well as potentially vertical, but opportunities to be a part of some key project teams, take on special assignments, to be on committees, and thus to not only learn some new and possibly different things, but to get greater visibility on the part of leaders that those employees don't ordinarily interact with. So there could be some potential opportunities further down the road in that functional area or other opportunities as well. So people that I've been talking to on the side of getting growth opportunities like this, I'm hearing largely tremendous feedback regarding, you know, I really like the fact that I've got these opportunities that are being offered to me for my consideration. Now, I will tell you in complete transparency, Ben, that occasionally I talk to employees who feel like, hey, this is just not predictable, and I'm not sure what's going on. When is the dust going to settle? And I attempt to help them understand that this is the new normal. Mm-hmm. And jumping on board and figuring out how to reorient one's perspective to embrace the opportunities and as a result to be more prepared for different opportunities further down the road is a really, really good thing, not just smart, but it also can best leverage one's passions, talents, etc., that may be applied in an entirely different way 2 years down the road versus where one is at this point in time. So lots of things across the board that companies are doing. A challenge is it's kind of hard to measure the impact. And I say this being a Six Sigma black belt, and I'm all about measuring impact. It's a bit hard to do here. I mean, you can certainly look at what we call the end of process metric, and that is, you know, tied to either attrition or retention rate. But there's so many other factors that go into that. Engagement surveys help put a general pulse on how different opportunities are viewed by employees, but it really does take a combination of an attempt to measure the impact combined with good old-fashioned conversations with employees about, hey, how are things going? What are you feeling excited about? What are you feeling less excited about? Combining that very qualitative feedback almost on one basis along with any other metric type data that you have at your disposal. So I'll stop here and see if you have any questions about what I've said or you have your next question. Happy to talk about any of that.
Yeah, I was actually going to throw out there a quick story that kind of illustrated some of those points for me. It tied into a couple of those things, the mentoring piece, the recognition, some of those. I had an employee years ago turn in his notice to retire, actually. No warning, no heads up, and I was blown away because I thought he was really happy and everything else. So I gave him a call and said, hey, what's up? He said, you know what? I do love what I'm doing, but I want to stay home with my grandkids, you know, play with them, go fishing, golfing, all that other good stuff. And I said, let me call you back. And I went and talked to my boss, who was the CEO at the time, and said, hey, would you be willing to do something flexible for him? The customer loves him. His peers love him. He's actually the manager on his team. And so I came back to him about an hour later and said, hey, how would you like to work 2 days a week? You pick the days. At the same time, we're gonna hire your backfill, and you start training him up on your day-to-day role. And he was blown away, like, you mean I can do that? I'm like, yes. And he was so glad to get kind of the best of all worlds because he got the personal stuff he was looking for. He got that work stuff that he was looking for that he enjoyed. He thought he had to give that up in order to pursue the personal kinds of freedom that he was looking for. And so we were able to check almost all those blocks. And again, at the same time, he was mentoring that new person. He was still adding value. The customer was really glad that he didn't just step out completely because they got to transition their expectations over to a new person. So it all worked out beautifully. I couldn't have orchestrated it better. And it all happened purely by accident because he didn't know to ask for that. And I just thought, you know, why not? Let's give it a try. And I love telling that story because it's an example of a lot of employers don't think about those things as options, you know, thinking about it creatively, thinking about, you know, they can be flexible to some degree. And the thing that, like one of the themes that came through, a lot of the points you were making around recognition, around development, around, you know, mentoring, all those things, was about, it's about personalizing the experience for people.
Yeah.
It's not about giving you that same peanut butter spread employee experience that everybody gets, but trying to find out what matters to you, what things you care about, what things you need, and trying to deliver those at a very micro level, personalized experience, because that's what people really care about, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a great example. So thanks for enlightening me to that particular situation, Ben. What I would say to that is it's an example of thinking outside of the box, which I think companies need to do more of, more so now than ever. But also beyond the right thing happening there in terms of, yes, the company agreed to it and things seem to work out, just think about from a personal perspective. I could hear in your voice almost your energy kind of rev up a little bit when you were telling that story. So you felt really, really good about how that worked out. And certainly that person did as well. So to the extent that we can really find opportunities to run businesses differently in the future, where we really find opportunities to, like you say, personalize how we move ahead together, it's going to call for outside-of-the-box thinking, such as the example that you gave. And it can be done, and it feels really, really darn good to do this type of out-of-the-box thinking. But guess what? It typically calls for someone to stand up, such as you did, and to say, well, what if? And I think being an HR person, it ought to start with us. And we need to stand up and propose some different ways of doing things. And that can lead to some amazing changes and outcomes. And again, I don't want to minimize this, just experiences where all sorts of inside feelings materialize that, you know, almost will make that person an employee for life because of what the company did for them. So I love that. I love that example. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because one of the things you just said tied in so well. The last episode that we had, I interviewed an HR executive, and she said that we need to see ourselves as the sole source of people insight in the organization. Don't abdicate that responsibility to somebody else. And you just echoed a very similar point saying, if we don't do it, who is, right? If we don't offer these things up, no one else is going to raise their hand and say, hey, I've got a really creative talent solution over here. That's not their job. That should be coming from us. We should be taking that responsibility and taking that initiative. And in a lot of cases, it's kind of just a, you know, well, that's what happens. We got a process. Let's follow the process and move on and turn these widgets out. But people aren't widgets. As much as it pains me to say that out loud, right, we shouldn't have to say that. We should know that. But I think a lot of the things that you pointed out today, the different examples and other stuff, help to illustrate that we've got to create these opportunities for people, and it's on our shoulders. You know, at the same time, it's a big responsibility, but it's also a big opportunity to do great things and help people find what they love, what they enjoy, what their strengths are, and to leverage those and make work just an amazing experience for them, and the company reaps the benefits of that.
Well, and I think that it's not simply a nice thing for us to do as HR practitioners. I think it's a needed thing, because the nice part means if it works out, then we feel really good about what's happened, the employee, the HR person. But I would submit that the way the world is going in the global economy, we have to find ways to be more efficient, more effective, more competitive, more so than ever. In an older world, in HR, we tended to lean into the policies and procedures, and everyone needed to kind of, you know, step in line, et cetera. And at various times, and still in certain places, that's incredibly important. But at the same time, we, I think, own the responsibility as HR professionals to be more strategic than ever, to be more proactive than ever, to do more about situations or brainstorming where we say, well, what if or why not, and be a catalyst for important change.
that I'd rather have it start with us leading the charge versus waiting until we hear about it from some other organization or part of the world, whatever. We've got this incredible opportunity. So I say, let's really seize the day and leverage all of our talents and passions and knowledge in HR, but kind of break free of the shackles of same old, as my kids would say.
I love that. I'll have to pull that quote for the intro because I love that one. Break free of the shackles. That's good.
I don't know where that came from. It just kind of bubbled up in my head, and I'll stop, you know, foaming at the mouth here on this topic, Ben. But you couldn't be talking to a person that feels more driven to help myself and my colleagues recognize what a huge opportunity that we now have in front of us to not simply remain viewed as a support function, but gosh darn it, we are involved in helping, we ought to be involved in helping lead businesses ahead instead of being viewed as, a support function that's necessary and blah, blah, blah. To me, that's the 1980s or 1970s perspective. I'd rather get current or ideally move ahead of where the business world is today and get busier leading as best we can. But that starts with, guess what, with us stepping forward and having the courage to do so. And that's, you know, it's easy to say and not easy to do.
Goodness. I have so many notes. I told you I was going to learn a lot today. I have so many notes from the conversation. If someone wants to get in touch, learn more about Rise Smart and the work you guys are doing, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is probably to go to our website. It's risesmart.com. And we have a number of positions open, I will say, and I won't go into specifics, but I will tell you that I joined the company a bit less than a year ago because of the huge opportunities to learn and grow and to make a difference. And I couldn't be happier, so I would encourage people to check out the website and the careers page specifically. If any of the listeners want to contact me directly, I'm John Taylor in LinkedIn. There are probably only 10 million of us, but my handle in there. Yeah, the only one at RiseSmart, and HR executive is attached to my LinkedIn handle or link, whatever you want to call it. So happy to connect with anyone who wants to learn more about the great company and the work that we're doing. I don't want to give away any surprises, but we've got some really cool, innovative stuff going on, which is part of the big part of the reason why I'm so excited about what's ahead.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll make sure and get those links into the show notes so everybody can connect with you and check out more about what the team is doing over there.
Sure.
John, I really appreciate you hanging out today, spending time with me, letting me nerd out with you a little bit because this has been so much fun for me.
Well, thank you, Ben. Thanks for the opportunity. I truly want to say I've enjoyed this conversation. You gave some great examples. And guess what? I learned from you as well. So this is a great example of how people that are interested in driving the world ahead in meaningful ways. We connect, we spark ideas and energy. So thank you for this experience. It's been wonderful.
Awesome. To everybody else, you've been listening to We Are Only Human. This has been Eubanks, your host. Thank you for checking it out, and we'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening to We Are Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.